You're recording.
Yeah, we're back in session. We're on section three, item number two. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Christina Guduso, DPM, in case number 2143. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to authority given it in ARS 322234. Dr. Guduso, please come forward to introduce yourself and your attorney represented by counsel. And please state your name for the record so I can pronounce it, correct my pronunciation.
You did surprisingly well. Christina Guduso.
David Soul is legal counsel for Dr. Guduso.
Okay, Dr. Guduso, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you and placing your license on probation. The terms may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
This is case 2143. On June 23rd, 2020, Yoda, a 17-year-old female domestic long-haired cat, was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma by Dr. Bill Slinda. Complainant elected to treat the cat with antibiotics until her quality of life deteriorated. On September 8th, 2020, the cat was declining and gabapentin was dispensed while complainant considered her options. On September 21st, 2020, Dr. Nutter was scheduled to perform an at-home euthanasia on the cat. After the euthanasia procedure, due to the condition of the cat, Dr. Nutter contacted law enforcement to file an animal neglect report against the complainant.
That's it? That was brief.
We're behind.
All right, Dr. Guduso, at this time we would like to swear you in. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. We would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. First, I want to explain to you why I could not in good conscience accept the consent agreement that was offered in this matter. The agreement included an admission on my part that I acted unethically in this matter, and I honestly do not believe I did. I wanted to have this opportunity to explain to you why I posted the picture on the Gentle Journey Facebook page and why the investigative committee was correct in making its recommendation that this complaint be dismissed with no violation. I did not post the photograph out of spite or to humiliate or upset the owner. In fact, I never expected the owner to see the picture. Maybe that was naive on my part, but I thought the post would show up to my subscribers and never expected her to look it up. She was not identified in the post in any way. I also did not put her down in the post. When she let me know she did see it and was upset by it, I immediately took it down. It is an anonymous picture that was posted for educational purposes only. As such, I don't see how I acted unethically. My intent in posting the picture was to inform my clients about the dangers of waiting too long in making what I know is a difficult and emotional decision when to elect humane euthanasia. As a veterinarian whose practice is exclusively devoted to in-home euthanasia services, I know firsthand how owners struggle with the decision of when to call me and when it's time. The most confusing advice everyone seems to believe is that it will be time to euthanize when a pet stops eating. I've seen pets suffering in subhumane states that still act on the survival drive to attempt to eat. I've noticed that even the attempt to eat can be very confusing to clients, as they see this as a will to live. I saw Yoda's situation and graphic photograph as a unique opportunity to illustrate this point more than any words could say. The only words I posted with the photo were, "This cat was still eating. Please don't use not eating as the only sign it's time to euthanize." No one wants to see pets needlessly suffer, especially their owners. But because they do not have the correct information, they doubt their gut instinct about when it's time or when the pet is actually suffering. I will continue to do what I can to educate the public in this regard so that they can make the best possible quality of life decision for pets, and will only post photos I've been given permission to use for this purpose. I'm now available to answer your questions.
Thank you. And I'd like to ask board members if they have any questions for the doctor.
My only question was related to what the issue was with the consent agreement as presented, and I think I heard right at the beginning that it was because it was related to ethics as the rule, that's why you didn't sign it. Is that correct?
Yes.
And do you believe that in posting the picture, I mean, obviously you said you didn't intend for the owner to see it, but they did, right? Do you feel like that was providing considerate treatment to them?
Again, not expecting them to see it, I don't see it as an ethical issue where I thought they were going to see it and made a conscious decision of being considerate or not. As soon as I knew they saw it and were upset, I took it down, and I think that shows my consideration to the client. Okay. Yeah, because I posted on my Gentle Journey Facebook page and thought that only subscribers would see it pop up. So I never expected her to see it.
I mean, I understand that you didn't expect her to see it. Ultimately, she didn't see it. However, she found out about it or whatever, she ultimately saw it. So my question is since she did actually see her cat that she was very attached to, basically used as a tool to say, you waited too long, do you feel that that's considerate treatment to an owner?
Honestly, the way I feel is most of my clients want to get that message out. And a lot of people admit to me they do feel bad they waited too long, and they're not offended to share that information. So I didn't think of it that way. I think of it as an opportunity to help other pets.
But in this case where you had a fairly volatile euthanasia as far as calling law enforcement, things like that, clearly this owner was not one of those owners. So again, do you feel that that's considerate treatment for that owner?
She didn't say you waited too long. I think she posted it to show her subscribers this is what can happen when a person waits too long.
Honestly, it wasn't even that. It was a cat that looks like this could still be eating. That was the only point of the post. Because
and you stated that it was to teach people not to wait too long to euthanize. And
well,
what I'm saying is everybody has a different opinion of that. What's right for one person is not going to be right for another person. What's right for you as a veterinarian may not be right for me as a veterinarian. So if I saw my animal posted on there, I would take it as you're calling me out for my decisions. What I'm asking is that, do you feel like that owner had considerate treatment by posting the picture of their cat?
That was never my intention.
Okay. No more questions.
So you said you took it down immediately. Did you apologize immediately? Was that part of the process, taking it down?
To be honest, I don't remember. It was through Facebook Messenger. I let her know I was taking it down.
Any other questions from board members?
I do have a question. Regarding the report to law enforcement for animal cruelty, I guess, I'm just curious about the thought process, just so I can understand, because animal cruelty obviously is a really serious charge, and you were specifically, my understanding, you were specifically called in to perform what we deem a humane euthanasia. So I just want to understand the thought process there. I think that would help me understand the social media posts following. Where was your thought process there on what your expectation was, or what your understanding was of what you were doing in that regard?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to explain that. I've been in in-home euthanasia service for 17 years. A big part of my job has to do with helping people know when it's right. And I agree there's a spectrum, but we also know there is suffering, and it's actually now a law that you can't not treat a pet who's suffering. So we can say when a pet is suffering, that isn't completely subjective. I never talked directly to the client. I talked to her warehouse manager, and she conveyed to me that the client still felt that the pet wanted to live, that she wanted to wait till there was absolutely no sign of life. So that was concerning when I actually saw the state of the cat and realized how bad it was. And also, one time I talked with a cruelty investigator who explained to me, because I often believe people don't mean to do any of this, and I was talking to her about it, and she said that's what makes it neglect. So my concern was how disconnected the manager was to how bad the current situation was. And I didn't bring any charges on anyone. My job as a veterinarian is to just say, I think this needs to be looked into, and that's all I was doing.
I'm just curious what was going to be looked into when you humanely euthanize the pet.
To see if the pet was treated inhumanely before the euthanasia, isn't that still illegal? Even if we stop with the euthanasia, if the pet had been, it was in a warehouse, the manager said she wasn't giving the full dose of gabapentin, it wasn't being monitored, there were things that could have been looked at I will say this is my frustration. As a veterinarian, I was given a pamphlet in the mail a few years ago when it became illegal, a felony offense to be neglectful to animals, and I was told it was my job to report it. That was all the training I got. In this situation, I felt like it needed to be looked at.
Any other board members have questions? I guess I need to ask this since we brought up in some of the narrative we read through. What was your emotional state at the time? Were voices raised? Were you asked to leave? Any of that stuff? What went on that day?
My tone of voice is probably similar to what it's like right now. My heart's pounding. I feel nervous. I'm in an uncomfortable situation. I probably sound a little tense. That's what I sounded like. I was never asked to leave. I was having friendly conversations with the client's husband, with her staff. I told them it was a really hot day. They told me Circle K is down the road. I was going to go grab Gatorade, come back. So that is not what happened. I did sound stressed. It was very uncomfortable. Yeah, I was disturbed. As soon as I saw the cat, to be honest, this started happening. Just feeling, that's how upsetting it is. I've been a veterinarian for 17 years. I've seen a lot of stuff. When I say how bad, not just, a photo can't describe how the body was positioned and the amount of suffering the cat was experiencing.
Did you know?
I just wanted to point out.
We weren't supposed to hear her. Okay, is there any other questions from the doctor, from board members? All right, you step back. We'll now hear from the complainant. Please come forward and introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Lauren Courtney.
Thank you. When you swear it in now, will you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And you are the complainant in this case, then, correct?
I am.
We've read all the materials you provided, and you may address the board.
At this time, with all due respect to the board members sitting here, I can honestly say that my emotions from what happened that day, because I was actually watching the whole procedure, the whole moment when Dr. Nutter came into my building on a FaceTime, because I wanted to be as close to my cat as possible when she was making her transition and her great journey back out to the great round. So, with all due respect, at this stage, my main concern was her mental instability, her emotional agitation, which led to aggravation in the space. And the most shocking thing for me was the fact that she was yelling and screaming as she took the first syringe and shoved it into the cat. That was the dose that was supposed to allow the cat to be relaxed for the next syringe, which would take the cat across. She became more agitated, talking about how we had neglected the animal, and the length of the time from the first shot to the second shot, I thought took a little too long, but after the second shot was administered, which she again went with this completely aggressive action into the animal, and the animal was ultimately euthanized in the space. At that point, she became much more agitated, much more aggressive, and I became concerned for my staff, I became concerned for the animal, and she said that she would not leave the premises. I asked her to actually leave the building. I had made arrangements and paid for the cremation and the paw print, but I just asked her to just leave my facility. And she would not leave my building, and she said that she would not leave the building unless she was going to take the cat with her. And I said, absolutely not. We will take Yoda, and we will bury Yoda in our yard. And so that became more aggressive and more agitated, and she said she would call the police, and I said, I already have called the police because you're technically trespassing on my property. So there were two squad cars that came. I also called my husband, and I called my lawyer at the time, because unfortunately I was not able to be there. I was up on a Navajo res, and I wanted to wait, but I felt this was the best decision to have her go and not be in any pain or agony. At that point, the police department showed up, and they asked to view the cat, which we had prepared in a death shroud. So we unwrapped her death shroud. We allowed for them, the police department, to examine the animal. And we had a complete dossier on everything, the 17 years of the care of the animal, from all the vet visits to hair salon, nail salon, and all kinds of things. They deemed that there was nothing, there was no information that warranted an animal neglect a report. So they refused to take a report. They refused to take the animal. In fact, they said there's no way that it's even legal for her to bring this animal into a police squad for us to take pictures of, because that's what she was trying to tell me. She was going to take the cat after it died and take it to a police department and show them how I had so terribly neglected this animal. And at that point, once the police department got there, they of course took her immediately out of the building. And at that point, the situation started to resolve itself, and was very unfortunate because I reached out to her 5 times. I emailed her, I left messages for her, that her and I could sit down and talk and have resolution to this conflict that I felt we, between her and I, we could resolve. I wanted her to hear me, I wanted her to feel me, to know that I would never neglect an animal. I'm 60 years old, I've literally spent my whole life in animals, with animals. I am a licensed practical nurse, and there's no way that that would ever happen. I wanted her to know that. And she would not respond to me at all, or at least did not respond. I don't want to jump to conclusions. There's a possibility that she didn't get the emails or the messages. When I saw the picture on the Facebook page, that was a shock to my system. I immediately contacted her through Facebook, asked her to remove the photo, which she did, but there was never even an apology. So I would have also, not that it really matters, but the amount of money I had paid for the service, the cremation amount wasn't returned. I would have donated it to an animal shelter anyways, but it just showed to me this repetitive amount of no ethics, no morals, no willingness to come and do some kind of resolution, conflict. And I felt I had no other options. And so I started stalking. What does someone do as a citizen in the state of Arizona when you have an issue with a vet? Say I'm 60 years old, I've never experienced this in my entire life. So I just started looking, and I had many people point me to this board, and that's how I wrote this, and that's what brings me here today. I want to state that I do not in any way think that this doctor should have her license taken away. I don't think that what happened was so grievous that she should have her license taken away. I spoke this when I did my phone interview as well. I don't know what, my husband asked me, what would you want? And I said, you know, I don't know what I would want. This is really for Yoda at this point. I make an agreement with an animal that I'm going to work with them until they cross. So this is more for Yoda at this point. And I think it's important that this individual realize that maybe that all she sees, or quick things she sees in a space, her perception of reality, may not be the full truth. And she should take a little time to go underneath before accusing someone of such a grievous crime as animal neglect. And so that would be one thing I would suggest. And that if she was having a bad day, I personally just think she was having a bad day. We're in the middle of COVID. I can't imagine what kind of 17 years of doing that. I'm sure that wears on a human being. And it's okay to have a bad day, but then come back and say, you know what? I had a bad day. I need to apologize to you. And there's ways to resolve conflict that we can use that will make us better. So I think that's my piece here. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I know you're all an hour and a half behind, so you don't need to hear me go on and on, but I appreciate you, the presence that you have while I was speaking, and that's all for you.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complaint? Anybody on the phone? Seeing none, you may step down. Dr. Casuto, you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
Oh, yes. The name confusion.
I said my name wrong this time.
I did?
Yes, I do.
Good to so. Good to so.
Good to so. That's the right way. Good to so.
I just have a few comments and then Dr. May as well. I just want to remind you what ARS 322239 says. A veterinarian who suspects or believes that an animal has been a victim of abuse, cruelty, or neglect shall report that suspicion within 48 hours to law enforcement. It doesn't say they may, it says they shall. And I don't think we want to, the doctor was just following the statute and what she's obligated to do under the Arizona Veterinary Practice Act. And that is, it's mandatory that if she suspects or believes that there's been animal cruelty, she has to report it to law enforcement. And I don't think this board wants to dissuade veterinarians from fulfilling that obligation. And, you know, in the owner's defense, I don't know if you appreciate the background of this cat. I guess it was in a junkyard next door or something, and the owner, you know, admirably took the cat in. But there may have been abuse or neglect for an extended period of time, but what the doctor was concerned about was that pain medications weren't given, that it had been prescribed pain medications and it hadn't been given it. And even though the pet had been euthanized, under the statute, she still has a reasonable suspicion that there had been neglect and she was obligated under the statute to report it. With regard to the owner's description of what took place that day, I just want to remind you, she was not there in person. Everything, all the details she's telling you about, you know, I had to hold the doctor back for writing all the things that she was saying that, according to her, are completely incorrect. But she, I think she said that she was there by Facebook or FaceTime on her phone. So she clearly wasn't in a position to know exactly what happened. And the doctor contests whether she was even there on FaceTime. At the end of the day, this must be our day for in-home euthanasias because it was the second case, and they're emotionally charged situations, both for the veterinarian and for the owner. And I don't doubt that it was emotional for the doctor to have to report a case of animal cruelty and neglect, but she behaved professionally throughout this experience, and her motivation for posting that picture was ethical and admirable. It was to educate. She didn't know, had no reasonable expectation that the owner was going to see it. And when she was informed that the owner had seen it, it surprised her and she immediately took it down. I don't know if you want to go through your list, but those are my closing comments. I don't see a violation here. The committee got it right. It should be dismissed with no violation.
I just wanted to clarify that she was not on FaceTime at any time. She was on an audio call after the euthanasia. That euthanizing a cat is very difficult. There's no way I can hit a vein if I'm aggressively attacking that cat. That's just not even medically possible. I was never yelling and screaming, especially not during the euthanasia. I was never asked to leave. She's saying she's an animal advocate. So I was just saying, let's look at this. And I even talked to her husband with that attitude. I don't know what happened. Let's just look at it. Were you advised that as long as the cat's eating, no matter what else you see, it's okay? You know, I just think it needs to be looked at. You're right. Not only for Yoda's sake, what about every other pet that we can prevent suffering? And maybe it doesn't seem that important to you guys because I'm just euthanizing pets, but I have to imagine what they've been doing the weeks before I walk in. And what's hard about my job is not dealing with grieving people and not dealing with loss, is walking into the home and realizing a pet has been significantly suffering.
Thank you.
Any more questions from board members? I guess Ed, once you brought up on a point about the Arizona law says you shall report within 48 hours.
Yes.
You had 48 hours.
I can explain.
You didn't have to do it right then, right there in front of everybody. You could have walked outside afterwards.
That was my plan.
Hindsight, anything could have changed in the future?
I called the police in the privacy of my car, which is, by the way, where I had been waiting when they got me. And the police also told me I did the right thing when they heard what happened. The police advised me to stay there and wait for them to come. I had told them the situation, that I was gonna be leaving with the cat. What should I do next? So that was my plan. My plan was never to be in that situation. That's what I was advised by the police.
Any other board members have questions? Go ahead.
The complaint has said, and I know it was dated prior, have the fees that were paid for aftercare been refunded?
Thank you for that. She reversed the fees immediately, so I have never been paid for this service.
Thank you.
Are you still seeking payment?
No.
Any other board members have questions? Seeing none, we may step back. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
James, you lead this.
So, I mean, this is certainly very, very, very much of a he said, she said kind of situation where we're getting two completely different stories of what happened. I think when we looked at this case before, we had a good conversation around whether or not reporting this to the law enforcement for animal cruelty was the right thing to do. And I think that every veterinarian has the right to judge that on their own. And if they feel like that is the right thing for them, then they have the right to do it. And while I would hope that we would have more communication with the owner and more communication with the referring vet and understand what had been provided to this cat and understand why the decisions were made to do what they were doing, I would hope that that would weigh in on whether we're going to report to law enforcement. But at the end of the day, that's each individual veterinarian's decision. I would handle it differently, but you would handle it differently than me. That's just everybody's own interpretation of what is neglect and what should be reported. So when we talked about this, that was not one of our violations. Our violations stemmed around the picture being posted on Facebook and whether that was appropriate when you had no approval from the owner to do this. Everything that goes on social media is public knowledge, so to think that somebody's not going to see it is just a bad assumption. And I don't feel like that is the right thing to do for our clients, to use them as a training tool about what you believe was the right answer, not what they believe was the right answer, but what you believe, and you use their picture. And this is something that is an emotionally charged thing. I would not want to see my pet that I just put down on social media. I don't think that that's appropriate. In any way, shape, or form do I think that that's appropriate. And I stand behind the 3222.32.12 as it's an ethical violation of R311.5011 for failure to show respect and provide considerate treatment to this owner.
And I agree. I mean, we heard a lot of testimony around, was there animal abuse? Was there fighting between the client and the complainant? I mean, what's going on here? And that had nothing to do with what's going on right now. I think there was definitely some personality conflicts and some issues going on, and that's going to happen. We see these cases all the time. And I don't fault the veterinarian for reporting or suspecting abuse. Now, I'm not saying that there was abuse, but I think it does fall on the veterinarian to have to kind of have that mentality of, okay, I'm gonna report this and let the authorities figure it out. So I don't fault the veterinarian in that. Like I said, I'm not saying that there was abuse or there was any indication of abuse, but if a veterinarian feels that there is something going on there, I hope they report it. It needs to go through the channels. That's fine. That's totally cool with me. I have no issues with that. The picture is the problem here. That if we would have just reported this, whoever was yelling and screaming, whatever, who cares? That would have just been a personality conflict. I mean, that's something totally different. This would have been the end of it. The posting of this picture, that's the crux of the matter. That's the major issue here. And that's where I have a big problem. I don't have any issues with reporting. I hope veterinarians keep reporting things. and then let the authorities determine if there's actually neglect. Because if there's neglect, if there's abuse, that can lead to abusive people, spousal relationships, children, whatever. I think that we need to report anything that we suspect on that, just to make sure. I'm totally fine with that, I shouldn't say anything. But I mean, anything within reason that you suspect, that's totally fine. That should have been the end of it, and it wasn't. And that's what we're upset.
I agree with Dr. Wright, Dr. James.
So I don't want this to... I don't want anybody to think that this is about reporting of animal abuse. That has no bearing.
No, it is never has. It's not in the consent.
Yeah, so I'd still do that. That's no bearing here.
Well, I agree that it was poor judgment, given the proximity to when the post came. Now, do you save a picture for later that maybe years down the road nobody will notice or know that it was that cat or forget that it was that cat? Then for educational purposes, sure. Why not? I save a bunch of pictures. And I don't do it to make fun of anybody or to hurt somebody's feelings or anything else. And I don't have any pictures kind of like that, per se. But ill-advised, poor judgment, yeah. Unethical? Poor judgment on that, unethical? I don't know
if it's unethical or if it's the ethics standard that's in our rules. It's the rule we use that...
Well, did the ethical standard say you can never make a mistake?
I don't think that was a mistake. I mean, I think that you posted something that you didn't have permission to post, so start with that. And it was already in a situation where you clearly had a differing opinion with this owner.
I'm not saying it wasn't ill advised, but it wasn't done out of any malicious.
It wasn't identifying the client itself. But there was an intent there of this is a problem, this is wrong, and putting it out there is an issue. I have a social media release in my hospital that everybody signs. If they don't do it, any picture is deleted immediately. You need to have that kind of social media release to do that kind of stuff. And to post someone else's animal to your business page, doesn't matter who's there, what's going on. We all know those viral posts that get 147,000 people share it, that's going to happen. And that falls back to us.
She does have it.
After this situation,
well, I don't have any comments anymore. But like I said, the issue is the judgment in doing that, and that's where the problem comes in. Like I said, if we would have walked away, this had been done, but there was that one extra thing, I'm gonna post this picture, and that's where the ethical issues in my opinion come in. This should have just walked away, chalked it up, we got in a fight, and we're done. That's what it should have been. Yeah.
But the posting of the picture was totally unrelated.
It doesn't matter. If your child's picture is randomly posted somewhere with some caption saying something, what would you do? That's a problem.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, that's an issue. That's an open-ended question. But that's an issue. I mean, that's my problem, is I have no problem with anything else except for that posting. That is an ethical violation of our standard, in my opinion, and that's veterinarians. We should not be sharing our patient's information without the client expressly allowing.
Nobody knew it was...
Doesn't matter.
Nobody knew except that one client.
Does not matter.
But
that's still identifiable.
But how did you feel as that one client?
It's still identifiable.
You just emotionally went through putting your pet down, and now you see a post on
social media? Like I said, poor judgment. She didn't think she would see it when...
A lot of things are poor judgment. It doesn't excuse you from the violation.
I'm not saying anything.
So that's right, the problem.
I'm not saying it's excuse. I'm saying
it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, but I don't think we can get around it. It's done. What's done is done, and this was a problem.
Okay. I'm going to put much less weight to that problem.
Okay. That's in there. That's viable. That's fair.
On the phone, were you wanting to say something?
Yeah. Sorry, this is Nikki Brown. I completely understand going back to, calling the police. My question was to understand her frame of mind. Why did he make that call? Was it emotional, or was it in the act of being a veterinarian? I think she answered that very well. She was doing it as her duty of being a veterinarian. And I think that's important, and she didn't do anything wrong there. However, she completely neglected her duty as a veterinarian when it came to the social media post. And I think when her attorney, Mr. Soul, said, you know, she had the expectation of, you know, privacy here. No, you don't. With social media, you do not. And children are taught that even. So I think that, unfortunately, where there was good judgment, there was really poor judgment. And as far as the way our statute is written, considerate treatment of those people, unfortunately, that thing, which seems so small, being social media posts, caused this situation. But there have been better communication all the way around, absolutely. But that's most of the cases we see, and I'm hopefully everybody learns from it, and you can do better next time. But it doesn't take away the fact that there was not considerate treatment of these people in the situation of that post. It just doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And for some people, yeah, their pets are more like their children, right? And if they were to see a picture of them posted without their permission, it causes a huge issue. And then here's the issue you're faced with. Either it's social media, it can go all over the place. But unfortunately, this is the situation you're dealing with. It didn't not happen. It happened. And here we are. So now we have to address it.
Okay, any further discussion? We do not have a motion on the floor.
So I make a motion that we stick with what was in the consent agreement as far as the findings of fact and conclusions of law and the order that was provided.
I second that.
A motion on the floor. Any second? Any discussion? I would go along with a censure. I don't think I'm going to go any further than that.
I feel like the CE is warranted. I feel like there's a training issue here. There's something to be learned.
In social media licensing?
In ethics.
Social media.
And making good decisions.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, but we have to deal with what's in front of us.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is findings of fact and conclusions of the law is our findings of fact and conclusions of the law. And we have a second. Any further discussion? Is there a roll call?
Mark said no roll call.
It's up to you. Only the order is the discipline that requires.
Only the discipline part?
Yeah.
Okay. My
original motion did include the order in it.
Yeah, I think it's better vote to take it in two motions based upon Mr. Lodi's comments.
Okay, so I would amend my motion to be the findings of to be accept as drafted in the consent agreement, the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
That's right.
Second that.
Motion before and second. To adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Nay. All right, that motion passes.
So was there one nay?
Yeah, one nay.
One nay.
Thank you.
And then I would make a motion that we place the license on probation for a period of 1 year. To meet the requirements of the CE for 4 hours of continuing education related to the area of ethics within veterinary medicine. Those CE required course details would be pre-approved, and I don't think we have any civil penalties.
A motion on the floor.
I'll second that.
And we have a second. Any further discussion? Let's do roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Eisen, aye. The motion carries.
The board has voted to find violation. And next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law. And after doing so, we'll then we'll read them back and adopt that. So We did this. Why is my script messed up on that? So if you have any questions, so we've done all that, and if you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you for participating today.